Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on approach. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a clip. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
There it is. What's good? GQ Palace Radio is in your ear and in your eye. You got the mayor in the building, man. It's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, as usual. We get you in. First of all, first and foremost, man, I just want to get into a little thing right quick before we get started. This little ship called After Further Review, man, started about a year ago, man, and linked up with the cats over at GQ Palace, my man Rich Money holding down the whole situation, man. Big up to you. Much respect, my dude. Miss Lavino on the buttons. Can I get the sound effect and let me know you in the building? I like to feel like I'm, you know, I'm talking to somebody. There you go. All right. That's what it is. But, yeah, man, we've been doing this a year now, man. So it's kind of like I feel like I got to, you know, give after further review, GQ Palace, a little happy birthday shout out or whatever. And that's the first one. So now we're working on the second one now. So I just want to get that out the way, man. We in the building, man. We doing a hard body karate, man. I prefer the reviewers here, man. And we live and direct. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to dial. And if you want to get on the conversation, man, press 1 and you get on the air, man. And, you know, you can kick it. We're doing a potpourri style tonight. So we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Be it the NBA schedule that just dropped at 6 o'clock. You want to talk about A-Rod or whatever. It's on you. Whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about Johnny Manziel, let's get it in. You want to talk about Manny Pacquiao, let's get it popping. You know what I mean? So we here, man. The mayor's in the building Tuesday night live and direct. Shout out to, you know, everybody who's, you know, really, really dealing with situations, man. You know, summertime things happen, man, and, you know, people get into a party mode and decide that, you know, they want to have a real good time, you know what I'm saying? But, and things happen. But, yo, I just feel like everything that happens in real life is kind of like bounces over and crosses the line into the sports world, man, because every day another person is in a situation where they said something that they wasn't supposed to say, they did something that they wasn't supposed to do. And, you know, speaking to that Raleigh Cooper situation in, you know, Philadelphia with the Eagles, I just think that, again, you know, everybody has said it, you know, and to kind of like try to treat it like it's a boogeyman or a monster or whatever is kind of like doing it an injustice and an injustice, and it makes people nervous. And what I mean by that is that, you know, they have to have two different vocabularies or two different ways of speaking when you're around certain people. Now, I could imagine, I don't know Raleigh Cooper, you know what I mean? I never, you know, don't know nothing about him. But is this all I need to know about this cat? You know what I mean? He was around his element or whatever, regardless, okay? And I'm not, you know, trying to give it a pass or nothing, but regardless, everybody has said it, so what? So everybody's cool and everybody's fly, and we can socialize with them and not, you know, say anything wrong or bad about them until they get caught slipping. And what I mean by caught slipping, they get caught saying that word. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't understand what the big hoopla is about Raleigh Cooper. He just said it like everybody else would say it, because you can't front. And if you're front, you're lying. So that makes it twice as worse. So that makes you a bad person now because he said it and it got put in mainstream media? deal with the consequences. They ain't got to be suspended. He's got to deal with that locker room. That's the worst of it. He's got to deal with that locker room, you know? And for them to try to say that, you know, now he's on an island by himself and he's the only person that ever said that in his life. Come on, yo. That's the big thing. I'm not really trying to really understand why it's such a big dramatic thing that he said something that gets said every day. But he's not supposed to say it. And that's his problem. So he got to deal with that. But my thing is, I really don't really see what the big hoopla is about it, you know, and I think that people focus their attention on the wrong things sometimes, man. But before I get off into a tangent, man, you got the mayor in the building, man, 646-200-3838. I'm feeling good, man, because next Tuesday I'm going to be rocking my birthday show, so it'll be on my birthday, and, you know, I work and do my thing for GQ Palace. I hope you noticed that, Mr. Rich and Ms. Lavina. Thank you very much. I like the timing on that. That was real, real slick right there. So, yeah, man, we're going to get it in, get it on and popping, man. It's Tuesday night. This is how we do, man. August 6th, man, 2013. Year is like more than halfway done. Summertime is, you know, getting towards the tail end of that. You know what I mean? I think it's like 4 or 5 weeks till, you know, kids go back to school, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So enjoy what you enjoy. The NBA schedule dropped a couple of hours ago, and I'm just going to touch on it for a hot second, you know what I mean, because I'm really sick of talking about basketball, because basketball season is over, you know what I mean, but this is a topic of discussion, so I'm going to touch on it. Opening night, October 29th, Miami Heat will be home against the Chicago Bulls, so basically they want to get the biggest audience to see Derrick Rose's first game since tearing his ACL, so he's been out, you know, a little bit over a year. And, you know, I think that's a good look, you know, the Heat, you know, get their rings, you know what I mean, and Derrick Rose is seeing that, and now, you know, who's the pressure going to be on? The Heat defending champs or Derrick Rose, and, you know, in his first game back. That's one of three games on October 29th, which happens to be on a, happens to be on a Tuesday. So guess what we're going to be doing on Tuesday, October 29th? So the Heat and the Bulls will be playing on October 29th. You got the Clippers taking on the Lakers on October 29th. So you'll see Doc Rivers with his new team. And you'll see Dwight Howard without, you know, Dwight Howard and no Kobe Bryant for the Lakers. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And Orlando Magic and the Indiana Pacers will be the first game of the night. So you'll see the Pacers who did their thing. You'll see that kid, the rookie from Indiana for Orlando, Oladipo, Victor Oladipo. So, yeah, that's going on opening night. Dwight Howard makes his Houston Rockets debut on October 30th. They play host to the Charlotte Bobcats / the Hornets and all of that. That same night, October 30th, Devil's Night, by the way, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are going to make their debuts with the Brooklyn Nets, and they're going to play on the road against Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's October 30th, the Nets at the Cavaliers. Dwight Howard will play against the Lakers, Houston Rockets against the Lakers on November 7th. That's going to be in Houston. And Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and them go back to Boston for the first time on January 26th. Christmas Day, there's going to be 5 games on Christmas. The Bulls at the Brooklyn Nets on 12 o'clock Christmas afternoon. Then Oklahoma City Thunder play the Knicks at 2:30. The Heat and the Lakers play at 5 o'clock. Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs play at 8 o'clock, and the Clippers at Golden State close out the night, Christmas night. So it's going to be a full slate of basketball Christmas night. Some really interesting games. And basically, that's all I really want to say about the NBA until, you know, training camps open or something. Because, I mean, it's baseball's getting ready, you know, getting down into the meat of the situation. College football and the NFL's about to pop off. So, you know, basketball had a great season. You know, shout out to the Miami Heat once again for, you know, defending their championship and all that. But now I'm ready to turn the page, man. So let's get it popping. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. We see the listeners. We enjoy the listeners. But if you got something to say and you want your voice to be heard, man, holla at your boy, man, 646-200-3838. And you just press 1 and you'll be in on the conversation and we can kick it like that. This going on with the Johnny Manziel situation, switching gears for a little bit. I think the heat is getting, it's starting to turn up on that dude. It's starting to turn up on him. I don't think somebody doesn't want to see him, you know, probably play his sophomore season at Texas A&M. Because, you know, due to the fact that, you know, he won the Heisman Trophy, he's been getting around, but I see they bestowed that honor on him. He's the first freshman to win it. Okay, the age that we're in, you know, he's a kid. He's, you know, he's going to get his props for that. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, he might have fed into it a little bit too much. And now the latest thing is saying that he was getting paid to sign autographs, you know, at a football foundation event. And that is a definite no-no. That is a N-O-N-O with 18 exclamation points around it. The NCAA does not play that. So I don't know. They said it's cell phone videos of Johnny Manziel signing helmets and footballs, you know, in a hotel room. But the video does not show him taking any money. So I don't know how you want to, you know, sketch that scenario out or whatever. But I just think that, you know, for him to even be put in that scenario sheds a real, real bad light on the already bad situation that he's got going on into his sophomore season at Texas A&M. But they're saying that he was paid $7,500, you know, and again, you go back to the times and the age that we live in, you can't really, you know, have bad breath without somebody knowing it. And, you know, if they don't like you, they're going to throw it on Twitter, hard body. So, you know, you got to watch what you do, and especially if you're getting, you know, some shine and, you know, everything for everybody, you know, not going to appreciate your shine. So I think that's kind of what's happening to Johnny Manziel. You know, it's not even about him playing football or being a student athlete first. It's about him being at these events and, you know, being on the sideline and hanging out with LeBron and, you know, being signing autographs and in a hotel room. And now somebody talking about he's taking money. So, you know, they built that, so they got to deal with it. But we here, man, live and direct once again, man. We've been doing this thing for a year, man, talking sports. We touch everything, man. We touch everything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to slide it over to the WNBA for a hot second. They, you know, getting back into their situation. And the All-Star game was nice. I watched a little bit of it. I enjoyed it. But I think it was lacking because, again, like we talked about last week, two of the big stars in the league didn't play. Elena Deladon from Chicago, she had a concussion. And Brittany Griner from Phoenix Mercury, she had a knee problem. But, yeah, the WNBA is really, you know, it's doing their thing. It's getting down to the season. The Minnesota Lynx, that's the team with she's escaping me now. Lindsay Whalen. And they're doing their thing. I think they won like 11 games in a row at home. And they're doing their thing. So shout out to the WNBA. We're here, man, and waiting for my man Rodney Z to call. He wanted, you know, he hollered at me earlier, so he wanted, you know, he had some things that he was on his mind and he wanted to get across, and I'm trying to give him some light to do that. So again, man, WNBA third quarter, the LA Sparks 45, Connecticut Sun 36, Indiana and Chicago just tipping off. Minnesota and San Antonio just tipping off in the first final of the night. New York Liberty 93, Washington Mystics 88, and later on we got Seattle and Phoenix. Yeah, man, I think that the WNBA is doing, you know, what it's supposed to be doing at this point. You know what I mean? And it's shining light on, you know, the women's game, and it's got a whole lot better. Definitely a lot better. It's a lot, you know, a better skill set to the game. And it's kind of interesting to watch. You know what I mean? They're not men, of course. But, you know, you have to, you know, appreciate the skill set from where it's been. Like 10 years ago, you watch a game from 10 years ago, you watch a game now. I think it's like a whole, you know, it's like night and day. Real talk. And, you know, they're marketing their stars. You know what I mean? And they're making names for themselves and, you know, in and out of the sports arena. And I think that the WNBA, you know, if it keeps on its current pace, it's going to, you know, really, you know, do some things and open up, you know, another arena for, you know, women and basketball. So, you know, that has to be something that has to be appreciated and given attention to, you know, and because, you know, Title IX did a lot for women as far as sports, you know, bringing them on, you know, a playing field of getting as far as respect and being able to even play sports on that level. You know what I mean? So that has to be, you know, this is something that has grown from Title IX. You know, you have the WNBA, you know what I mean? You have, you know, women doing, you know, a lot of things. They're driving cars, you know, race cars, and they're doing everything. So, you know, Title IX really, really opened up a lot of, you know, doors for women as far as, you know, want to participate and being able to participate, you know, in sports and enjoy themselves and make a living. So that has to be lauded and respected. Wow, I want to get into this list. The list that we're talking about is the players that were suspended by Major League Baseball for this performance-enhancing drug situation. Alex Rodriguez, I really don't like to talk about this, but I think he's just doing, you know, what he knows. Because I'm one of those that really never wanted Alex Rodriguez to play for the Yankees, you know, but I didn't want anybody else to have him. But he's been through so much stuff, and he's been in so much stuff, and, you know, since he's been a part of the Yankees, and even before he was with the Yankees, you know, that it wasn't worth it. But I just didn't want to see, like, the Red Sox getting him or anything like that, you know what I mean? But it's more trouble than it's worth at this point. And I just think that the Yankees just have to, you know, let it play out at this point. You know, they, you know, baseball suspended him yesterday with 12 others. And A-Rod appealed it. And he played last night in Chicago against the White Sox. He went 1-for-4. But my thing is, I cannot wait till they get to Yankee Stadium. I want to see what the response is going to be if he's in the starting lineup. Let me look at the Yankees schedule and see when the Yankees come home. They're in Chicago right now playing the White Sox. Let's see. The Yankees will be home on Friday night. And they play Detroit. So, Rodney Z, man, I need you to call, man. Holler at your boy, man. 646-200-3828, man. You know the deal. Yeah, I want to see what the Yankee Stadium response to Alex Rodriguez is going to be. That's going to be very, very interesting to see. And I think it's going to be very, very, very telling of where the Yankee fan is as far as they, you know, where the stance is on as far as Alex Rodriguez is concerned. Because I always said that Alex Rodriguez could never compare to Derek Jeter. Yeah, Alex Rodriguez puts up the numbers and things of that nature, but now we know where that came from, right? Okay. Derek Jeter does stuff that Alex Rodriguez would never dream of doing. Couldn't dream of doing. Okay? Everybody knew that Jeter was better than Rodriguez, but A-Rod was just putting up numbers. That's all. That's fine, well, and good. You put up all the numbers you want, but what you got to show for it? Okay? So now, everything comes to the forefront, kind of sort of that, you know, he was, you know, kind of like cutting corners. Okay? Derek Jeter never did that. Derek Jeter got 5 rings to show for his efforts. You know what I mean? A-Rod got 1 ring. He got that off the back of Derek Jeter. So, again, where are we at in the grand scheme of things? And he's acting like, you know, all of this is just, like, so easy, and he's going to, like, just pass by and everybody's going to forget about it. Nah, nobody forgot you lied in 2009. Nobody forgot about that. Nobody forgot about that, yo. So all you're in it for is the money. And I can't be mad at you for getting what's yours. But then again, now you know, you're cheating a Yankee fan like myself, and I've been a Yankee fan from the door. And it's like, wow, we don't need you. Suspend you for the rest of the season, you turned around and appealed it, and like, are you going to win? Somebody giving you some bad advice, and that's all I'm going to say on that, man. 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Baseball, my Yankees are slip-sliding away. I don't know if people are paying attention to it, but, you know, it's going through a thing right now. We lost 2 in a row. Our record is 57-54. I remember once upon a time we were like 15, 16 games over 500. So, again, I picked them to finish third this season, you know, and hopefully they won't finish last. You know, this season, to me, it's considered a wash. And whatever happens, happens with the season. They just have to worry about 2014 because 2013 is basically done. I don't, we're 9.5 games out of first place. You know, it doesn't look like Boston is slowing down anytime soon. Tampa Bay is hot now. You know, Baltimore, you know, they lost two in a row. They're going to, you know, they're going to get better before they get any worse. You know, and I just think that, you know, this season is a wash. I don't even see where we can, you know, really compete with for a wild card spot. You know, now, you know, because we're dropping further down in the standings. We're in sixth place in the wild card standings. So I don't see where, you know, we're going to make up that much ground. As far as the standings are concerned, in the American League, man, Boston's in first place holding it down. Detroit Tigers are doing their thing in the Central. And the Oakland A's, they're going to make a dogfight out of it with Texas in the West. You know, Oakland is really, they're no joke. You know, everybody thought they was a fluke from last year. They won the division last year. I don't know if people remember that or realize that, but Oakland won the division last year, and they are not playing around. So you got to respect them, and they, you know, they're in it for the long haul. In the National League, you know where I'm going. I want to check on these Pittsburgh Pirates and see what's good with them. They holding down first place, right? So they 67-44, 23 games above 500. You know, it's, you know, we're into August now. I had told Kia earlier we were going to get back and check with them around the first week of August. So here we are, and there they are. In first place, two games in front of the Cardinals. So, again, this next, you know, 2 weeks to kind of tell it and see what the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to do. And I think wild card, but now you're in first place, why not take division? Why not? See what you can do. It's going to be a dogfight at the end. We'll see. In the National League East, that division is done. Atlanta's 13.5 games in front of Washington. This year, I don't know what happened to them. They was talking about the World Series, and you know, I think that Steven Strasburg situation, they should have let him pitch last year, because he's having a terrible season compared to last year. He's having a terrible year. And Washington, you know, they just kind of like got full of themselves, and see where they ended up. In the National League West, look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers. Who picked the Dodgers before the season started? That's right. Can I get some applause for that? Can I get some applause for picking the Dodgers before the season started? Thank you. The Dodgers are doing their thing right now, and it's not just Yasiel Puig. The Dodgers have a good team. You know, Matt Kemp has been in and out of the lineup, so it's not just him. You know, Andre Ethier hits in his spots. The pitching is, you know, is decent. Greinke's doing his thing. The relief pitching is good. You know, the Dodgers and Don Mattingly, nobody's talking about firing him now. You know, last month they were talking about firing Don Mattingly. Firing him for what? You know? So the Dodgers are going to, you know, they're doing what's expected of them now. And now I want to hear people talk about where they spend all this money they're supposed to win. Nah. You play to see what you're going to do, and even if, you know, Matt Kemp was, you know, having a, you know, a season where he was totally healthy, they would really be killing it, you know. And if Yasiel Puig is just a icing on the cake, as far as, you know, the Dodgers are concerned, yeah, they spent money because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to spend money, and that's why you own the team. You spend money if you want to win. You spend money, and you got to keep up with the Joneses. So I really don't understand when people talk about, you know, Yankees buy championships. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? As a team, you're an owner. You're supposed to, you know, buy your championship. You get the best players available. And if you got the money to spend, then spend that guap. You know what I mean? Don't be scared to spend money. Scared money don't make no money. That's what they told me. You know, so that's what it is, man. We here in the building, man. After further review with GQ Palace, been on the air 1 year, man. Strong, man. That's a lot of days, man. That's a lot of shows. That's a lot of conversations. That's a lot of debate. That's a lot of going back and forth. But that's a lot of us in your ear, man, every Tuesday night. You know, hoping that, you know, you got something out of, you know, the conversations. It gets wild sometimes, you know what I mean? But that's how it is. And I'm saying that that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about in regards to a situation that went down between two people that I highly respect. Michael Smith from ESPN and New Douglas of ESPN got into a verbal altercation. And I just think that, you know, that whole situation sheds a bad light on us as a whole. And I just think that, you know, it's not, we're not, you know, without blame as far as, you know, going at each other's throats, because we go at each other's throats hard body here after further review, man. But again, man, this is the element of where you were. They were at a event, and I guess New Douglas threatened to beat up Michael Smith, and he was, you know, they say he was drunk, you know, and he called him, you know, uncle, you know what, and a house, and you know what. And I don't know what led off into that. And, you know, it was at an event for the National Association of Black Journalists, which kind of like sheds a different light on it. Because, you know, again, like we were saying earlier, you know, you have those conversations where you say that and, you know, your eyebrows don't raise or your antennas don't go up, because that's, you know, how we talk. Okay, that's, you know. But when it gets said in situations that are outside of that, then that's when it becomes newsworthy, you know. That's the bell. You know what that means. We got our first call on the line. Ziggy, what's good, man? All the way from Michigan, the great state of Michigan. What's going on, my dude? How you feeling? Welcome to the bigger show, man. Hey, what's the bigger show? Happy birthday. We've been all a year strong, my G.
Happy birthday, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what's going on.
Oh, I'm just got the I'm in shock because I thought Michael Smith and you Douglas pretty much got along. But,
man,
wow, so.
I just was, you know, I just really kind of like got into that situation. Like, really, I heard about it, but I was like, okay, they was just, you know, they do what they do, because they, you know, they go in on the show. Our numbers never lie. But I don't know, man. You know, it all, to me, the worst part about it is where it went down at. These are kids that you want, that want to be like you one day and try to glean information from you. And I really would like to know what my man Cortez Strickland feels about that situation, as far as, you know, journalists and, you know, black journalists, I'll just say it. You know what I mean? Now, you know, just putting that particular light, having conversations that Ziggy, you know, that you have when you're on the block with your mans and them, or when you're in the barbershop or whatever. You know what I mean? You have conversations and you say things. But you don't say them in a hurting way. But you—that's just how we talk.
But see, that goes back to show you when, as far as the guy from the Eagles, the wide receiver.
Right. Uh huh.
Well, we're in the day of age now where you just press send, and your whole life will change.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you might not be that person that it made you out to be when you said it, because you was right. You know, it might have been a situation that somebody got you in and you heated and you say a couple of things and everybody coming after you now. Your livelihood, all that is gone.
But see,
and it's wrong.
Here's the thing, though. Me and you, we can say that, right? In the heat of the moment, whatever, whatever, right? But Riley Cooper can't say it, period, without and being heard. You can say it all you want. But once you get it gets heard and it gets put out in the air, and people see it coming out your own mouth, now that's when they look at you different, my G.
Okay, but
you know what I'm saying?
We in the NFL locker room,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
you know the language in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Riley Cooper is not the only person.
Right, right.
He's the one
what
they
I'm
make
saying.
Their
exactly.
out of.
Right, right. That's right.
If you want to do everybody like that when nobody have a football team.
That's right. When nobody have a football team, when nobody have no endorsements, when nobody have nothing. And that's my point. And don't just single out Riley. He just got caught. That's all. Even if you want to put that term on it, he just got caught slipping. Because he said it before. Come on now.
I heard somebody say that he needed to get suspended. And my thing is, he got the punishment he deserved. He get a fine. And then let the players on the field have their own.
Right. Let them deal with that. Exactly. Exactly. That's right. Exactly. Let that be dictated on the field. Now,
don't you think he knows that when he crossed the middle?
Yeah.
Line,
oh, yeah.
And somebody's sitting there waiting on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they, oh, should I catch his ball or what?
Yep.
Because I know this.
You know somebody's going to test him. I don't know if they play Atlanta this year. I don't know because I know D'Angelo Hall can't wait to get at him. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's dudes just like taking it to that level. You know what I mean? We gonna deal with this on the field. And he put himself in that box, yo. I mean, it is what it is.
I heard you when you was like the Yankees is about to fall off a about to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, it's about to be a wrap for the Yankees. I said that at the beginning of the season, but I just think that with the situation with A-Rod makes it kind of even worse, man, because now it's not about the Yankees and them getting closer to last place than first place. It's about A-Rod. I just want to see the response on Friday night, man. We play y'all on Friday. We play the Tigers on Friday.
He's a bum, man.
I can't wait to see the response. And to me, that's going to tell it. You know, people saying, well, you know, he could use this and he used that and he has a right to do this. No, he don't. No, he don't. He jerked baseball around. That's my opinion. He jerked baseball around. He knew what he was doing from the door.
Don't you think the higher ups need to pay for this too? Because they was endorsing it when he was hitting all them home runs. They was looking the other way.
Well, that's true. I mean, everybody's complicit. Everybody from the top down. Everybody's complicit.
All the way
to
the top down.
What do you do? Do you do him like? Ryan Braun to say, okay, you got caught lying, not once but twice, okay? You're still acting like somebody's doing you dirty when you're doing the whole situation dirty yourself. All you want to do is get paid, okay? The Yankees, I kind of like they saying, well, hey, man, we can get some of this money back. And the league is already scared because Buck Showalter from the Orioles was like, yo, the Yankees can't get that money back because you know what they're going to do with it when they get the money back. They're going to be the Yankees again. He was talking already about Matt Wieters was going to play for the Yankees. They already scared. So it's a whole domino thing going to fall from this, yo. What do you do about it? Do the Yankees get some of their money back? How much money do you get A-Rod? Is the scrutiny, because he's going to get roasted over the hot coals when they play at Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, yo.
But do it, A-Rod, though, the way he may not show it, because you know he always—he's
oblivious to it.
He always got that. He always got that. There's always an elephant in the room, and he never noticed.
He noticed it, but
he plays it off pretty.
Yeah, exactly. He plays it off to the T, my dude. Yeah, he plays it off to the T. You know, he think like, you know, you look at him even when he's doing the interviews, fam. When he does the interviews, he's sitting up there all happy. Like, you know, we love and clamor and can't wait to see him. And then when they start asking him them questions and hammering him, now he's like, oh, God, it's that question again. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I don't know what we're supposed to do with this dude, man. What are we supposed to do with him? If George Steinbrenner was alive, George Steinbrenner would probably punch Alex Rodriguez in his mouth, straight like that. You taking my money and you got me up in here with this crazy PED situation, and you was lying not once but twice. Come on, yo.
Yeah, we got one out, but we did something at the trade deadline, so we got a. Another shortstop.
Yeah, you got Iglesias from the Red Sox, right?
Man, he has an arm on him.
Yeah. I mean, I heard somebody saying something about Peralta can come back with 3 games left. I mean, if the Tigers are going to hit, you really don't need Peralta. You need Iglesias' defense. You got enough
Peralta
offense.
Peralta got a better bat than he do, though.
Huh?
Peralta got a better bat than he do.
But what I'm saying is, Peralta might have a better bat than him, but look at your lineup. Are you going to be really missing that
ball.
Much
he
without Peralta?
The
huh?
This the playoffs. He come off the bench. He can find a spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have Peralta back for the playoffs, right?
Yeah, 3 games
okay,
left.
Okay, so if you have Peralta back for the playoffs, you can probably just put Iglesias in for late, you know, late in the game or something. for
right.
defense. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Yeah, I know with A-Rod, man, I'm almost ashamed. This is my first time really being ashamed to be a Yankee fan, yo. Like, I don't know what this dude is, what he's thinking about, who he's trying to impress. But we're not easily fooled, son. You know what I'm saying? And I could talk to you about a whole bunch of stuff that A-Rod did. It was a game in Toronto, man. Maybe, Ziggy, man, it had to be 3 years ago, okay? Now, here's the deal. A-Rod was at second base, right? He was playing in Toronto, right? A-Rod was at second base. I think it was a high chopper. Okay, so you know how the Rogers Center is. It's a dome, right?
Yeah, it's go high.
So it's a high chopper. So A-Rod is running. Okay, so you picture yourself. You're the fielder. You're waiting for the ball to come down out the air, right? A-Rod runs past you and goes like, try to scare you. The dude, you know, he got shook, and he let the ball drop. You don't remember that?
Yeah. Didn't he have one where he's trying to take somebody out?
Yeah,
A-Rod. Did he also have one where he tried to take somebody out?
He wasn't fighting when the Yankees and the Red Sox had that fight either, was he?
He didn't want no part of that. He did not want no part of that. Well, I would like to give you an update. 5-1 Detroit over Chicago, bottom of the first.
Yeah, man.
If they can go ahead and just take care of them, this series, that'll be a nice little knockout punch.
Now I'm saying if the Tigers need to put, well, it's 4 now. You guys are up 4. Well, you got 9 in a row. Yeah, you look like you're trying to do it now. You're up 4 on Cleveland. You're up 7.5 on Kansas City. They're about done. The Royals are done.
Royals have won like 8 in a row, haven't they?
The Royals won 3 in a row.
But they were 10 out of 12.
They was
like
doing
that.
It. They was doing it for a hot second there. You know, they over 500. That's all you could ask for them. You know what I'm saying? They over 500. Look at Oakland. Oakland won a division last year. And Oakland ain't no joke, man. But what they gonna do now that they don't have Bartolo Colon? So that's gonna affect them, you know. And the Texas Rangers don't have Nelson Cruz, and Nelson Cruz is gonna be a free agent.
Yeah,
so he might not even be back.
They don't even have no bats. His bat needs to get to the stretch room.
So now they don't have Josh Hamilton. They don't have Nelson Cruz. They don't have Michael Young. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what the Rangers are. I don't know. The Rangers, they got pitching, but they need some bats, yo. Word up. So yeah, what's going on with your Lions, man?
Well,
y'all play Thursday night?
Yeah.
Who you play?
If I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati.
We play the Ravens. Gotta know your team, man. Gotta know how we just gotta pop it off, man. You know what I'm saying? Gotta know how you what your team schedule.
Play the Jets.
You play the Jets?
Yeah.
All right. What y'all gonna do with the Jets, man? See, that's gonna be a perfect time for Ziggy. Your man Ziggy to get like a couple of hits on Mark Sanchez, man.
Oh, yeah.
What's that defensive line going to do?
They say he's going to be starting, too.
See? I mean, like I said, when we was talking about it earlier and people was coming down on him, I don't remember their names. I wish I did so that I could blow them up.
Yeah.
But,
me?
Huh?
Me?
They were saying, okay, thanks for admitting it. Thank you for admitting it. I appreciate that.
At the time,
People were saying, but more than you, though.
But he called.
Hold on. That's the bell. We got a call on the line. I have no idea who you are. Welcome to the biggest show. What's going on?
Hey, this is Kia.
What's good, Kia? Kia, what's the daily?
Nothing.
We got to wish after further view a happy birthday.
I know, I was boxing.
Yes.
Oh my God, can you wait a minute. Happy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But what's going on?
Nothing. I'm ready for some football. Sunday was like, you know, Sunday was just like a taste.
Uh-huh.
It was a taste. And you know what? I was listening to all these little A-Rod comments and then mm-hmm. about the comments about the college football.
Right.
The A-Rod comment, I don't blame A-Rod for doing the appeal. I really don't. Because when they didn't do nothing in 09, that was it. But, you know, to try to make it seem like, you know, I'm glad this A-Rod did what he had to do. He appealed. So he's playing some baseball. So I'm not mad at A-Rod for playing baseball. He needed to do what he had to do. So
it's a straight business move. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm thinking that the thing where he's joining this Yankees, I'm pretty sure he's glad.
He should be glad. But my thing is, I just can't wait till Friday night. It's gonna be on. I can't wait to how the stadium is gonna react to him. It's gonna be real serious.
Well, Yankee fans, whether they're gonna boo him, I don't think Yankee fans are gonna boo him. I think they're gonna be more, you know, they're a little bit disappointed.
A little bit. So we're disappointed. What are we gonna do? Say, oh man, it'll be great later.
They're disappointed. You got some fans. They're disappointed.
And you got clean players that's playing in that same clubhouse with him that do not appreciate it.
Yep.
And
they ride the business, yo.
They cleaned up the whole. It's not like it was back in 98, 97, where everybody was on it.
And not for nothing, a lot of people probably been waiting for the chance to give A-Rod the business. Not for nothing.
Well, then they can give him the business, but he's going to play baseball. He did what he had to do. He appealed it. He's playing baseball. He got for 3 to 4 months.
He running like an old man now.
So my thing is, if I was A-Rod's attorney, I'm going to be appealing. We are appealing.
That's right.
Hey, Mayor, you hear what I said?
The best legal team, because you know what? They don't have a strong case on they don't have a strong case against him. Because A-Rod admitted it in 09, when he said he didn't do nothing after this certain thing. They don't have a stronger case on him.
So why did the dude, why is the dude saying A-Rod did? And why did they have paperwork?
They don't really have a lot of paperwork. You gotta check.
They don't need to have a lot of paperwork. They just need that. If he said he didn't do it since 09, then they don't need to have no paperwork.
What I'm saying is, when the appeal process came and he appealed it, and quite naturally his own union probably, because it's just so many speculations, so many false reports.
There ain't no problem. This dude is just trying to get some money.
I'm representing A-Rod in any whatever.
This dude is trying to get his money that he got that contract for. He's trying to get his money from the Yankees, and I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him, but I don't want him on my team.
Well, then you
I don't want him on my team. I never wanted him on my team.
Like an old man now.
Well, you got to deal with him.
Yeah. And you're telling me as a Yankee fan, you're telling me that the Yankee fan not going to give A-Rod the business on Friday night?
And as a Tiger fan,
hold on, Ziggy, hold up.
I don't think they're going to give him the business as far as, like, Yankee fans. You know what I'm saying? They're disappointed. Yes, they can't. They probably can't. But I don't think they're going to give him the business. That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
And as a Tiger fan.
I don't know about that.
As a Tiger fan, when he come up the bat and he's standing in his batter's box,
they gonna let him
I'm trying to tell you from a different perspective.
We're not scared of him like you.
That's all I'm saying.
What do Tiger fans have to say?
We not thinking about y'all. We running away with it.
We don't care what y'all don't even have breadcrumbs.
Whatever. But let me tell you something. Only thing we got to do is come to the Bronx for 3 games and take y'all off y'all feet like we did in the ALCS.
Hey yo, let me jump in for a second. Check this out.
Breadcrumbs.
Let me jump in for a second. What we gonna do?
Breadcrumbs.
Hold up.
Wow.
Yo, mute them. Mute them. Check this out. We got to kind of respect the line, yo. If somebody got something to say, man, let them speak, because you can't hear nothing if five people talking at one time. You know what I mean? Let them make their point. Let them get their point out, and then you respond to it. Or everybody talking at one time, nothing gets heard, because it sounds crazy on the archives. That's what I'm saying. So, Skia, what was you saying earlier? What was your thought?
Yankee fans, they're going to be some fans, but I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of fans.
Okay,
they're going to see A-Rod playing, and they're going to be like, you know what? I don't think they're gonna be like, ooh, you know, all
yeah,
that.
I think they're gonna kill him. I don't think they're gonna kill him.
I don't.
So maybe I just think they're gonna kill him. But Ziggy, so from a different perspective, what's your thought on it?
I'm glad he's back because I'm not scared of the cat no more. He can stand. Hey, I figure he gonna strike it out. He gonna get struck out anyway. So bring him on.
You know what? In real talk, what did he do when he was in the playoffs with the Yankees besides in 09? We won the World Series.
That was back three.
So I'm like, what has he really brought to the table besides a whole bunch of headaches? Somebody was giving him a hot dog at the game, and he was Cameron Diaz or whatever. Nobody cares about that. Play some ball, man.
Last time I remember him on the field, Girardi was taking him out, benching him.
In the American League Championship Series?
Yes.
And he makes how much money? and Joe Torre was the manager. Joe Torre had a batting seventh.
I'm like Curt Schilling. He ain't gonna do them embarrass himself. Just let him come on back.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so who's at fault here? Is Joe Torre at fault because you was batting 129 in the playoffs and he decided to bat you seventh? Is it Joe Girardi's fault that you ain't show up in the postseason and he decided to put you on the bench? Whose fault is that?
It's A-Rod's fault. Anybody saying nothing that it's not A-Rod's fault? I'm saying I don't think he's going to get that paper reception.
Okay, and that's fair. We're going to see on Friday.
It's just going to be the business. It's just going to be, you know what? He's back in the Yankees uniform right now. I'm not mad at him because if I was interested in him, we're appealing. You better be going to get him some games in there, and I'm fine about it.
You know, I say that, kid. Check this out. You know me, I'm stupid. You know why I say that? Because check this out, and I ain't saying this just because it's Detroit. What if A-Rod hits like 3 home runs Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So is he still on the juice? Or now you got to hear the A-Rod's on the juice jokes, and you know what I mean? But if he goes 0-4, then he stinks. So he's damned if he do. What can you expect out of A-Rod? There's a month and a half left in the season. What do you expect out of him? How many home runs? How many RBIs?
Anything
could be better than what we got now at third base. But you know what I mean?
Of course. Anything that's better right now in the situation. But my thing is, let him play baseball. Let him get back. Let him finish out whatever he needs to do. He knows he's about to be, you know, sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whatever the situation about the money, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He put the best legal team around him. He got the best advice. He's doing what he's been told. He's appealing this process.
Will the Yankees make the playoffs?
They'll make the playoffs. They better make the playoffs. They better make the playoffs. But you know me. I hope both sides will go flat on their face. And I know they will.
I had a funny feeling you was going to say that.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think my entire, not my department, but my, because I got some Mets fans in my, you know, surrounding me, but a lot of people, they thinking a lot of Yankees fans up in there, so you know, got a few Mets.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong to have that belief, but man, listen, we're only 3 games over 500 right now, 9.5 games out of first place.
Yeah,
it's starting to get ugly. It's not ugly yet. It's starting to get ugly.
Well, we'll see what the middle part of August is, and we'll see. CeCe got to step it up, man. Maybe some other team will have a little bad, lose 5 games here, 4 games here, then, you know, Yankees creep up. So, you know, whether it's spot or spot, they get a spot.
Well, y'all can start y'all rebirth after the weekend. You feel like
we played the Tigers on the weekend.
You ain't serious. You can start your rebirth on Monday.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with that. Shifting gears for a hot second. Kia, what's your opinion on the Riley Cooper situation?
You know what? He says something that he can't take back. And that's something he's going to have to live with. Once you know, you always got to be careful what you say, because whatever comes out your mouth, it came out that way. And he meant what, you know, he meant how he said it. So he can't retract what he says. But his teammates going to always see him a different way, and I don't blame what's his name, Mr. Sean. What Paul Sean says, like he looks at him in a different way. So
right.
He should have never. It's gonna be. I don't know how he's gonna regain his teammate
trust and respect.
Trust and respect, because respect goes a long way. He has
mm-hmm.
lost that respect, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about his playing field, and then when he played other players, African American players, they all go
right.
look at him. Probably gonna want, you know, that's something.
Somebody
that
gonna catch him coming over the middle.
Hey, and they're gonna tap him.
It's like you said, hey.
They're gonna
know?
Tap him. Say right now, they're gonna make sure he gonna be lipping, gonna make that sideline.
Ziggy, I got some good news for you, man.
What's up?
Mark Sanchez is starting against the Lions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Sanchez is starting. It's ugly, kid. Now that's ugly. That situation with Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith, I can't call it, yo.
What's wrong with Rex
you
Ryan?
Know what? And you know what, Rex? I think if Rex don't get his stuff together this season, he'll be fired at the end of the season. If the Jets don't make the playoffs, Rex is done. Rex is gone.
Okay, that's something to watch. Okay. Mm. Okay.
Rex
okay.
will be gone.
What if they start out 0-4?
Rex is done. Rex is
okay.
gone.
Yeah, you know that because like you said, he's on the tightrope. He probably
he
don't even know.
0-4, they
yeah.
might as well put Geno in. Let Geno take his hit.
Yeah.
Let it be some growing pains for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be an interesting situation down there in Jets land because
yeah,
I don't think Woody's gonna be sitting here tolerating another. When the last time they've been supposed to be 09 and 010, they like 3 years almost off the post.
So today at camp, Mark Sanchez was 4-for-6. He went with the first unit, so he looked good. And Geno Smith was 2-for-5, and he threw an interception. So it's the second day in a row that he's been kind of shaky. But Mark Sanchez won today, so you know tomorrow will be a different thing. But yeah,
just didn't make it no better though, because they still ain't got no speed on their offense.
Hold on 1 second. We got Did on the line. Did, what's Did? What's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show.
What's going on, man? It's Did, D-I-G-G.
What's going on, my dude? How you feeling? Welcome to the Bigger Show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into a flow, my G, you got to listen to send a happy birthday. Shout out to After Further Review, GQ Palace Radio. We've been rocking for a year now, man. So, you know, let's give him a happy birthday. Shout us out for our birthday, man. You know, he's your first time calling.
No
but
doubt,
we call him just
man.
In time.
Of course, man. Happy birthday, man.
Yes, sir. Salute that. Thank you. So what's going on with you, my dude?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. I see you talking about sports.
Yes, sir.
Waiting for this football season to start off.
Who you rocking with?
I think I'm the only diehard cat from Brooklyn, New York, who's a diehard 100% Seattle Seahawks fan.
Oh, this is Diz.
Yes.
What's up, baby?
What's going on, baby?
I got a shout out to Miss Lavina. She had, you know, it's all good. I got you. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. We got that. Welcome to the Bigger Show, my dude. You here now?
What's going on?
The cap has been taken off.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. The Seahawks, man. Talk about them, man.
All right. This is the thing. Now we came off a very productive year last year, so
right.
you know, here come the bandwagon jumpers, Super Bowl bound over that. Like, yo, relax, because last year y'all had us predicting going 5-11. Now you be 11-5 last year. Y'all
nobody saw Russell coming, right?
Right, exactly. Or the middle linebacker, or probably none of my team coming. But this is the thing. This year, the expectations are we have high expectations, but a lot of people been coming to me talking about, well, what you going to do now that Percy Harvin is out, this, that, and the third? I was just like, well, first of all, you got to take into consideration we went 11-5 without Percy Harvin.
Nah.
So
that's right.
We're already a good team.
That's right.
So it really doesn't make a difference. We can't miss anybody
who never played for us.
Now, he adds a different dimension, and he adds a bonus for us on the offense, but our main thing was we have that rectified. It was just our pass rush.
Okay.
So with the additions of Marcellus Bennett, Cliff Averill.
From Detroit.
From Detroit. Marcellus from Tampa Bay. Tony Daniel from Miami.
Okay.
We got our draft pick. So we're set. We're pretty good. So I'm looking for and expecting high expectations, you know, for my team this year.
Right. Okay, let's talk about you know, the situation as far as your team, your Seattle Seahawks with this with the PED usage and
right.
things like that. What's going on with that? Where are you as far as, is that going to be a situation that there's going to be, you know, paid attention to a lot this season, or is it something that we could just, you know, kind of
no,
like?
No, I believe being the fact that it's been so brought up and mentioned, and, you know, with Seattle, it is a major concern considering in the past 2 years they had a total of 8 players
mm-hmm.
testing positive for that.
Right.
2 or 3 of them are not with the team anymore, but the point is it's loose in the locker room.
Right.
And it's too loose in the locker room. And Russell Wilson, and surprisingly, Richard Sherman, who was, you know, exonerated of all charges, he stepped up, Russell Wilson stepped up, and Red Bryant, our defensive end, they
mm-hmm.
stepped up, and they basically just had a closed-door meeting and was just like, listen, we got something special here. Don't F it up.
Mm-hmm.
We got something here. Stop with the drugs. You know it's going to get caught. You know
mm-hmm.
it's going to be out there. And with us, you know we got this black cloud because it's a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And even case in point, one of our premier pass rushers was a rookie last year, Bruce Irvin, suspended for the first 4 games
yep.
of the season due to that.
Yep.
And that's big because
mm-hmm.
with Chris Clemens being hurt after he tore his ACL in that rotten field in Washington, no just to Washington, but y'all field sucks. Between that and Cliff Avril, he had a shoulder injury in practice,
mm-hmm.
but he should be able to come back. We need our defensive linemen to step up. So with that being said, it's just like, you know what, they address the issue, and hopefully they don't have any more issues dealing with that throughout the year or for any future, you know, upcoming events.
No doubt, my dude. We got my man DJ Dez in the building representing BK to the fullest, Seattle Seahawks in the building. We got my man Ziggy, he's calling from Michigan. He's a Lions fan. We got
all
Keo
right.
on the line. She's a Steelers fan. And you know
all
me,
day.
So you know me, I'm Tampa Bay Buccaneers hard body. So what are you expecting out of Russell Wilson? I mean, nobody saw that coming. 26 touchdowns, you know what I mean? Over 3,000 yards passing, the playoff berth, strong playoff
right.
showing. What's the next step for him? You know, what are you expecting out of him?
This year, I think it's a great thing for him, considering that last year, remember, he had to fight for that position because
mm-hmm.
it was Matt Flynn who was
right.
supposed
that's right.
to
right. Gave him all the money. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right. They gave him all the money, but when they drafted him, it was like a steady process. He went
mm-hmm.
from like, okay, he understands the offense, to he's good, to like, hey, this dude is pretty good. So they gave him the opportunity, and he took the starting position.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gave it to him. He
That's right. That's right.
This year, I think it works wonders for him because now he doesn't have to take the position. He knows he's the starter.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps him during the season because now he looks at it as, look, I'm the starter. I don't have to battle for this. And now, instead of me coming in trying to get the position, now I'm known as the starter. I'm trying to master the offense that's put in front of me.
Right.
And
right.
that makes a world of a difference instead of trying to learn a position as opposed to knowing the position and trying to master it.
That's right.
And the way he sets himself in the locker room and the way he stays in the film room, because they label that Russell's room. They label
mm-hmm.
the film room. They renamed it the Russell's room because he's in there all day, all night. And he's in there with the receivers, and he's trying to – I just think that the sky's the limit for this brother. And I really think he's going to be doing positive things this year.
So, and nobody says anything about his height anymore, do they?
I mean, you still got haters, but like Frank Tarkenton was saying,
mm-hmm.
he was like, they were talking about my height, but I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So,
right.
But he's no Frank Tarkenton.
I'm sorry?
I said he's no Frank Tarkenton.
No, not that, but remember, he's a rookie. And
we're going to see how his sophomore year is going to be, because I don't think he's going to have a great sophomore year, but we're going to see how his sophomore year is going to be.
I respect your opinion, but I completely, totally disagree because I think he's going to have a better year considering
mm-hmm.
now he's going to have
ain't
nobody
gonna be
like
fooled
Drake
by him.
Said.
Nobody's going to be fooled by him.
They don't need to be. They wasn't fooled by him last year regardless.
They were fooled by him
yet
last year.
No, see, here's the difference. Our team, which is my team, Seattle Seahawks, our number one thing on offense is our run game. So that limits all the mistakes he could have made as a starting quarterback.
Beast mode.
Run game produces everything else. The play action pass, the option zone read that they have, all of that is produced. And
wow,
if you notice, from week 8 to 16, he only had 2 interceptions, but he threw for 16 touchdowns. So that makes a world of a difference. And with the run game in there, and as long as we got the beast in the back, we good. We don't need to put everything on.
Rodgers had what, over 14 interceptions? He had 29 touchdowns. But that don't mean nothing.
Wait, who you said, Roethlisberger?
I said Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers?
But Aaron Rodgers doesn't run his own read, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the running game that the Seahawks have.
I'm just saying. With the interception and the...
Well, all I got to say is we... Diz, you my man, we cool and all, but November 3rd, we got a problem.
Oh, of course, and I'm looking forward to that problem.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, you're my man in the whole nine, you know what I'm saying?
That's
going to
be a good problem.
Yeah, man.
I got Seattle winning the division.
You got Seattle winning the West?
Yeah.
They don't have a rematch of the Green Bay Packers game? There's no rematch this year?
No, it's no rematch. They
don't play
Green Bay
in the preseason.
I find that funny they don't have a rematch.
I mean, I would have been looking forward to the rematch.
There should be a rematch.
Yeah, I think there should be, too. So then
that
way it won't be anymore.
That game was stolen. Yeah, it should be a rematch. I wonder why they didn't put a rematch for that game.
Because
that's how the schedule fell.
That's how the schedule
fell.
I'm just saying, they put a rematch.
Yeah,
got the Falcons this year, right?
But you know what? But you know what though? You know how the schedule goes though. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm just saying I think they got the Falcons. Y'all have the Falcons this year?
They got the Falcons.
Yeah, we got the
November 10th.
Right, but why not put the Packers instead of the Falcons?
Because it's the schedule. Last year
exactly
we
won.
That's the
schedule.
They made
every
the schedule out way before.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. As soon as the final game of the season is over with,
you know who you're playing.
You just don't know the dates.
The
first place schedule plays the first place teams
first
in the conference.
First
and second. Okay, mm-hmm. you already know you play six division games. You already know that, right? You play three home, three away. Huh?
Yeah, we know that part.
Okay, you know that part, right? You know you play your intra-conference games. That's four games. So six and four is 10. And then you play the remaining six games against the division. If you're in first place, you play a first place schedule. If you're in last place, you play a last place schedule. That's it.
Right. And see, with us, the only team we play in the division with the Packers is the Vikings, considering the Vikings finished second.
And that's why you always had that one team. That's why you always had that one team that have a four-place schedule. That always bite somebody the next year.
But you see, to that Ziggy, I would say, say for example, follow me now. The Jets, for example, like Kia would say, in 2009, 2010, their schedule was rocking because they were up there, so they had that first place schedule. Then they was losing. When you lose, you get a sorry schedule. So I really don't tell that next year. It's the year after when you get that tough schedule again that you're gonna show everybody where you at. Like with Seattle.
Yeah, but
Seattle got a first-place schedule this year.
If you playing a fourth-place team,
look at all the teams that they playing
last year.
Look at their schedule. Look at Seattle's schedule. They got Carolina, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Houston, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Arizona, St. Louis. That's a loss against Tampa Bay. Atlanta, Minnesota, New Orleans, San Francisco, the Giants. Oh, man, I love to be in the building for that one.
Oh,
Arizona
yeah,
and St. Louis.
Going to that game. You know we're going to that game.
Oh, you go? That's the game y'all going to this year?
You know we're going to Arizona this year.
Oh, you're going to Arizona this season. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Play Arizona. Arizona's playing
St.
Louis.
But that Seattle and Giants game is going to be something, man.
Yeah,
some brotherly love in the building. Shout out to my man Jerome, yo. Word up.
Yo, hold on 1 second, y'all. I got to take this call.
Okay, go ahead, man. Do you, man. We here, man. We here.
All right.
Kia, so I'm going to give you your shine with your Pittsburgh Steelers. It's almost time for you to hit the training camp, right?
Yep, I can't wait to get down there.
You sound real enthusiastic about it.
I don't need to be enthusiastic, but I'm excited when I go. Come on, I'm excited. So
can you ask Mike Tomlin for 9 wins this season? I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Don't kill me, kid. I'm sorry.
I'm back. Oh, I'm back on the phone. I'm sorry. Wait, who's
getting
9 phone?
Getting 9 wins?
Excuse me?
I was saying it. I said, what about your Bucks getting 9 wins?
I hope we get 9 wins. I hope we get 9 wins. I hope we get 10 wins. You need 9 wins.
Troy looks good. He lost a lot of weight. My cousin told me when they went up there, he's like, Troy looks totally different. He lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And
is he healthy?
Yeah, healthy. So Keisha lost a lot of weight too. So he's a little he's really and Ben looks good.
Okay.
So he's like, you know, I was like, well, I can't wait. He just told me a little kid after I can't wait.
When are you going up there?
The week of the 16th. No, the week after the Giants game. So they play the Giants at 10.
Oh, yeah, they play the Giants at 10. All right, okay.
Yeah,
all right. So they'll be getting ready for RG3 then.
Yeah.
So they play the Redskins that
following
year.
17, yeah.
Still playing. Mm-hmm. Did they even think about refurbishing RFK Field?
I thought they were, but I think they did. I think they did.
Like, even before that game, like the playoff game with Seattle, Pete Carroll was just like, yo, this field sucks.
It's the worst, right? Yeah.
He was like, it sucks.
It used to be worse than that.
Yeah, I heard.
I remember when the Hawks used to be in there. I'm talking about the old RFK, when they used to have dirt and patches of dirt coming up off the field. And
what field is this, man? What field is this?
The Redskins
field. RFK Field. Washington
RFK
Field.
That's not the new field. They've been around for a minute.
Like, basically, they've been trying to get field turf there, but I guess they wanted to keep the old regime, like the old.
That's a beautiful stadium.
It is. Hey, RFK is
a beautiful stadium.
But their field is horrible. And a lot of people can get injured on their field because when they're kicking up, their foot gets stuck in that turf.
That's
everything moves
man.
But their foot. And that's the worst thing that happens to a football player, boy. Because that's where the ACLs, like Chris Clemens, and he tore his MCL, and you see what happened to RG3.
What's up with everybody tearing the ACL up this year already?
Yeah, you see it in the preseason.
Wow. No, I'm talking about they doing it in practice.
Yeah.
That catch coming up lame.
Jordy Nelson, he tore his jump. He just tore his ACL up.
Long as it ain't happening up in Pittsburgh, I don't care what
nobody
else's team happening
to. Hey, get across your fingers,
because
you never know.
No,
one of them names come
up. Long as it ain't coming up this way.
Hey, Diz, let me ask you a question. What do you think in regards to, what's your opinion on the situation with Alex Rodriguez?
Yo, man, that dude's a clown. We on the radio, so I can't use no explicit.
Yeah,
but that's the best thing I can put. He's a clown, man. I just don't understand. Look, it's a plus and a minus. Look, I like the way he handled it with dignity. He didn't go pouting, and he answered every question the reporters threw at him. But it's like, come on, dog. You already got caught multiple times, and you already know you're being dirty and being watched. Why do you keep going to these
people? What do you think the response is going to be Friday night at the stadium?
At Yankee Stadium?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he getting booed.
It's gonna be crazy. That's what I'm telling you. It's gonna be crazy, man.
I'll give you that.
He's gonna be at Yankee Stadium and he's not gonna get booed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell her. It's gonna be vociferous, yo. They're gonna give him the business.
They're giving him the new one. What was the multiple towns? What multiple towns did he get? What was the multiple towns?
He said multiple times. And how many times did he meet? They already set him up to be this dude to be the next home run champion, right? Everything was set up for him. Okay? He did that to himself. So all of that, You get no wins. You get no wiggle room, my dude. No wiggle room. We went through this with you in 2009.
Even when he was with the Yankees, let me tell you, because you know I'm in, I don't know if y'all in the New York area, but I'm in the New York area. And the thing is, when the Yankees won it, I believe, in 2009, when they beat the Phillies, that was the only series where people were really trying to root for A-Rod.
That's the first time that he really
made a conscious effort to step up in the playoffs. So now that they won, he had them. But as soon as he did that, he turned around and got caught again doing something. And that right there, and especially with New Yorkers, the fans, Once you screw up multiple times, they're not loving you anymore. They're going to tell you exactly how you
what
feel.
What it
now,
is,
this,
trying to tell you.
Now, with this situation happening, they are going to give him the business. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't put the camera to
finish his thought. Let me finish his thought. Go ahead.
Is they going to give him the business? Because this is the thing with New Yorkers. New York and Yankees aren't in first place like how they normally are. The Yankees aren't winning like how they normally are.
Mm-hmm.
So these fans who are paying
good money,
to go out there and go to these games, and now they have this dude who's supposed to be showing up, and he's known for cheating, or are they going to tear him up? Because they're going to be like, look, how are we going to be sitting here wanting to support you when your whole basis is based on a lie? We can't deal with you. They're going to tear, and I wouldn't be surprised. And then to top it off, what he's getting paid, I think they broke down what he was getting paid in the minor league.
And that makes it worse.
You know, every time he came up to bat, he got paid on average $14,125.
And look at this. Look at it like this, my G. Andy Pettit, he was under the same cloud of suspicion of him. He said what he had to say, his mea culpa, whatever, did what he had to do, and he's on the Yankees. Ain't nobody saying a peep about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But A-Rod is different because we thought that this was over in 2009 when you first lied about it.
Yep.
I'm not going to do it no good. I learned it by mistake.
Exactly, yep. And it turned right back and did it.
I heard he was doing it when he was a teenager.
Hold on, yo. That's the signal. You know, we got another caller on the line. Rachel, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Hi, Mayor. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on? You know what it is? We're doing the birthday show tonight. You know what it is? No.
Well, I must salute you. I want to say congratulations. Congratulations on 1 year.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm calling to show my support as I walk around the track and I'm out of breath. I'm calling to tell you congratulations.
Thank you. She's being athletic right now as we speak. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
look at that. You're doing sports right now.
Yes, I am. As little as I know, I'm trying.
I know that's right. So, yeah, so that's what it is. We appreciate you. I'm checking in. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. I just want to say congratulations on 1 year anniversary for you, Mayor. Continued success.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
No doubt.
Good night.
Get back to work. Good night.
I'm
ready. All right.
Bye-bye.
That's what it is.
Yuck, she was just calling to show love. That's what's up.
That's how it goes down, my dude. Yeah, this is my man right here, Diz, man. You know, he's a hard worker, man. He's always like, yo, I'm going to call in, man. And,
yeah, I've been trying
to. This is the right time
to
the season, though. It's about to go down. You came in at the right time, my G.
I looked up too, and I was like, wait, his show is at 10, let me call him now.
Listen, for a hot second, we had Jerome on the show like earlier, like maybe, you know, a few months back. Kind of like give us an update on the situation. You guys were going to Arizona for the football game. We talked about, you know, how you get together every year and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Basically, like, our clique is considered, like, we call ourselves LD Incorporated, Lost Disciples Incorporated. And it's a group of us. It could be from 10 to 20 brothers, all cool brothers, all hardworking, no thugs, because we don't deal with the nonsense, because we basically too grown for that.
Exactly.
So basically, it's just grown men who love sports, and every Sunday, you know how you do it at my crib. We just come through and we just watch football.
Yes, sir.
Just football and jokes, and we doing us.
Mm-hmm.
But every year, our goal basically is to go to every NFL stadium, football stadium in the NFL. And this is our 14th year. We've been to 13 different stadiums, and this year we're planning on going to Arizona. So we're going to see Arizona play St. Louis, which for me is an important game because it's a division game.
It's a division game. Yep.
Right. But for everybody else, we've never been to Arizona, so we're trying to go and see these.
The reason why I brought that up is because you got kids in the building. She's a Steeler fan, so she might, have you guys ever went to Heinz Field?
I'm trying to think. No. And
okay. Have you been to Ford Field?
In Detroit?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Because I was just, okay, we got a live witness that can tell us what the deal is with those situations. But yeah, man. So a little bit more about, so you're going to Arizona game this season, and don't they have somebody that used to play for the Steelers, Rashad Mendenhall?
Boy, over in Arizona, yeah, I believe so.
I was trying, yeah. I know Key is
looking. I believe so.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, those two stadiums, like Pittsburgh, we wanted to go, but, like, the way we grow with those group tickets, the time we looked at Pittsburgh, that's when I think Heinz Field was just like, opening up, or just starts. It was hard to get tickets there.
Okay.
It's hard to get tickets up there, I can tell you right now. You got to get tickets.
Yeah, it's hard to get. We looked at that.
Second Sunday, tickets
up
in June.
Yeah, it's hard to get tickets there because... And you got to give props to the Steelers and their fans. They're devoted, hard fans. So they really go hard body with their team. Now, with Detroit, it was kind of bugged because, like, the time we was looking to go to Detroit, I think that was the year they went 0-16 or close to going 0-16 or 1-15 or something
Rodney,
like that.
Rodney, enlighten us a little bit. You're a Lions fan. You know what
and
you're talking about.
You keep saying that, though. You keep saying that. Hey, we just like y'all, though. We 0-0. Ain't nobody won, ain't nobody lost. Everybody got the same record. Got the same hope you got.
When we went to Detroit, we was trying to get those tickets. The only way we could get those if we got, I think, box seat tickets, which was, like, real, real expensive. And we was just like, wait, we want to see you guys, but we don't feel we should be having to go all out considering that there's hardly anybody coming to these games.
Right. I was going to say, how hard is it to get a Lions ticket?
Hey,
like,
wait,
y'all trying to give us the Puff Daddy seats, and we were going to get the Khalifa seats, yo.
You know?
Like, yo,
we have always shown up. Over 16 for a field, and we've been bad for a long time. But that's one thing, that's the reason why Lions fans feel that William Clay Ford don't want no winner because they always showing up. They half empty. They don't come in half empty.
Yeah, I mean, you know the Lions, to me, Detroit deserves a winner, but they have to be a winner, man. That ain't nothing like the Lions,
you know,
the Monday night games when they had the crazy uniforms on, man, and they was rocking, you know, that's what football needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hold on one second. That's the signal. We got a new call on the line. Angie, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show.
Hi. What's going on?
Hey,
sorry,
how you doing? It's all good.
Just to say happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
You know.
Hey, you caught me by surprise. You're about 30 minutes early, but it's all good.
You know, I tell y'all, I'm learning how to.
It's all good. It's all good.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Yeah, we've been rocking, man. We've been rocking for a year, man. It don't seem like it, but when you're doing what you love to do, man, it's time to fly when we're having fun and all that. But, what's on your mind?
You leaving? Okay. Not much. I'm out of the function, and I just,
just want to check in and holler. That's what I respect. You know, respect that. Appreciate you.
Real quick, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. At 9:49 next week. That's next week is my birthday.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yes, next week, August 13th is my birthday. So I'm expecting you around 9:49.
See, you know what? I'm going to surprise you and call right at 8 o'clock.
I'll probably have a heart attack.
Right at 8 o'clock, I'll call. And I'll fill him. That's going to be my birthday present to you, man.
That's what it is. I appreciate you. All right. Thank you for calling in, sweetheart. Enjoy your folks, and you know
you're
what it
welcome.
Is all day. And I got you tomorrow night, no doubt.
All right. Dallas
That's
Cowboys
what it is.
Stand up. Let's go.
Uh-oh. Dallas Cowboys in the building. Okay.
Yes.
Did you watch any of the game Sunday?
Did I watch their game?
Yeah, the Cowboys played Miami on Sunday.
The Miami Dolphins
look real mean with those I don't know what to call them uniforms. They got light green. What's going on with the uniforms, man?
They look a little more than uniforms going on.
The Dolphins look sick, man.
You see the Dolphins look on the helmet, yo?
Like a stingray.
Somebody gave him some bad Pepto or something. Like, what's he mad now? He used to be
happy-go-lucky.
Now he's tight.
Hey, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Wow. But listen, Mayor, I'm sorry, but I'm going to hang up now. Because
go ahead. Okay, we got you. Thank you for calling, no doubt.
Okay, and, enjoy the rest of the show.
No doubt.
Talk to you later.
All right, out.
All right.
Yeah. What you were saying, Ziggy?
What happened to the football and the mouth and the helmet on top of the head?
Man,
they don't have that. I mean,
they don't have that.
It just don't look right.
And I thought something was wrong with the TV because I was like, what kind of color is this green going on here? But hey, that's the Miami Dolphins. I know some Dolphins fans. You know, better luck to them. I watched the first couple of series, but I had to turn it off because I think when Miami first got the ball, they fumbled on their first play.
I had to watch. I watched the whole thing because I wanted to see the hit.
What did Mike Williams do?
Mike Williams didn't play.
Nothing. Is it nothing?
Nothing.
Hey, did Tony Romo play in that game?
Huh?
Did Tony Romo play in that game?
No.
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 They had cut Kyle Orton. I was like, oh, how? Where did they get Kyle Orton?
Yeah.
Oh, they got him.
Wild man.
Yeah.
Wild man from the wilderness.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think he did some numbers when he was playing for Denver, though. He was doing his thing when he was Denver Broncos.
I liked him at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
He used to tear us up when he was at Purdue.
Hey, Diz, let me get your thoughts on this Johnny Manziel situation, man.
That's just one of them things where he went from playboy to bum.
Mm-hmm.
And in a hot minute from being in the... Yo, you got to be careful with the media, man, and how you portray yourself out in the media, because they've put you on a pedestal, and then they'll just yank that from you and watch you drop.
Right.
Now all of a
right.
sudden, now they're talking about with him signing all these contracts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can be. It's like, whoa, where did this come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Where did all of that come from?
They trying to drag him through the mud, now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody don't want to see him play. Somebody don't want to see him play
on
September 14th against Alabama.
You can't tell me when he get out on the field that don't affect you.
Whose
fault is it?
He wasn't
upon his own self.
What'd you say, Kia?
He wasn't upon his own self. I think the whole thing they had up there today, they were discussing about the payment, like should these athletes be paid?
Right.
I don't think they should be paid that kind of money. Somebody put up there like $100,000. I said, are you kidding
me? I don't even give those comments.
I said
$100,000.
Wait, somebody said $100,000?
Yes, $100,000. And I said,
and get a free education? And get a
free
education.
And you kidding me? And I mean, I'm
so what are they talking about, $25,000 a year? Or $100,000 a year?
I guess that's what they're trying to average it up to.
I can't pay no attention to that. That makes no sense.
You got to take into consideration,
too. Speaking to the Johnny Manziel situation again, like you said, you know, this situation came out of nowhere. We think when, you know, everything's kind of calm and smooth and everybody's trying to, you know, relax, all of a sudden here comes something else out of left field.
But he made himself available for that.
But they got pictures of him signing the helmets, but they don't got no pictures of him taking money.
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying?
It's word against the agent.
Exactly. So now what do we do? Where are we at with this situation now?
Right. Now they're going to be watching.
If you're his teammate, you like, man, why you just can't chill and be low key?
No. But Ziggy, look at this. Follow me. Johnny Manziel earned that Heisman, right? He earned the Heisman. He's a freshman. Nobody put no gun to his head and said, you know, you go hang out with LeBron. You go to the Miami Heat locker room. You go to the Dallas Maverick game. No.
They put him out there like that.
Now, if he was on some real low key stuff, okay, he won his Heisman and he gonna keep, you know, he gonna do him. But he was eating the limelight up. What else is he supposed to do? But if the NCAA want, like Diz said, if the NCAA wanted to rein him in, none of this would have been allowed from the door. You don't want to give the impression that anything underhanded is going on. Isn't that what the NCAA always talk about? You don't want to give the impression.
That's ESPN.
So now you got this kid. You got this
ESPN.
Kid
that's media.
Traveling somewhere, signing helmets, and signing memorabilia in a hotel room. How does that look? Does that look proper? Is that proper?
That's not proper. It's an impression. He knows. And I'm quite sure they do the investigation. They find out from these people that they pay for those signatures. And they say, yes, then of course, $7,500.
And then that's another whole can of worms is opening up now.
That's another thing,
My question is this. What 18, 19, 20-year-old wouldn't bask in the opportunity of hanging out with their favorite basketball or football star at that age? You think if you're a 19 or 20 year old and you playing ball, you got to hang out like in my era, the Jordans or the Dominiques or the or the Sean Kemp and all that, and they coming through, you gonna want to ball with them because you looked up to them.
And they respect you as a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, and now you bargain. It's like, yo, these idols who I grew up with now is respecting me. These rappers who I grew up listening and buying their tapes are now inviting me to their party. You think if Rakim and KRS and Nas ain't inviting me to a cypher they going to, I ain't going to show up? I might not sleep for 3 weeks behind, man. Just to see something like that, man. It's just like, yo, the society we live in now, especially when it comes to this sports, is bugged because to me it's a hypocritical society.
Yeah.
You want him to do good. He's doing good. He's staying out of trouble. But as soon as he does something which shows his youth, which every youth will probably do, all of a sudden now, in order to get your stories and your headlines out, you make the smallest infraction super huge.
That's like, why really? I call it microwave society.
That's the perfect analogy for that. It's a microwave society, boy. When it's hot, boy. It's bananas.
Yeah, man. It's going down. We here, man. GQ Powers is in the building, man. After further review, doing it to you again, man. We've been on the air, man, a year, man, and I'm proud of that, man, and I want to salute and thank everybody, man, that called the show, took time to listen to the show, man, discussed the show, had a problem with the show, loved the show, whatever, man, because you're talking about the show. After further review in the building, man, we got bigger and better things coming for 2013 and beyond. Hint, a Big Rich, man, that Saturday thing sounds like a good look for me, man. On the football tip, I'm just putting it out there. You know what I mean? I'm just putting it out there.
We talk some college football?
We're going to talk football. College football, NFL football, CFL football. We could talk lingerie league. We could, as long as it's football, we're going to talk it. We're in the building, man. Word up. But, I mean, again, man, like you said, it's youth being youth. But when they act youthful, it's a problem. Now he's not being a role model. And what did you expect?
Yeah.
So again, man. So you know,
crazy.
That's a scenario that really, you know, makes people shine a bigger light on him as an individual, and that
don't
really
make
about Texas A&M because that game on I keep talking about. I've talked about it for like maybe the last 3 weeks. That game on September 14th is going to be the season. Is for Alabama.
They got LSU, right?
Okay, but what I'm saying as far as early games, it's gonna have a bearing on the Heisman. It's gonna have a bearing on the polls. It's gonna have a bearing on like how Johnny Manziel is viewed for the rest of his career.
It's gonna be this year
at Texas A&M that he's gone.
Yeah.
Because again, remember last year they beat Alabama. In Tuscaloosa, remember? They beat Alabama last year.
So that's
why I'm looking at that game, and that's the same night as the Mayweather Alvarez fight, September 14th.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good game.
Football is a pain, man. I wish they just get a playoff system to really decide a number one.
It's coming.
This is the last year of the BCS. This is the last season for the BCS.
Yeah, 2015.
Who you looking at, Diz? Who you like as far as football is concerned, college football?
For college? Shoot, it's that machine in Alabama, man.
Oh, man.
I can see it coming now.
It's going to be a whole football season of this. Roll Tide and all that. Okay.
Let me just explain. I am a die-hard Florida State fan.
Oh, that's even worse because I like Miami.
So you know the battle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, wide left, wide right, however you want to do it. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love it, baby. When we finally got the kicker and we use that same kicker to kick y'all.
Everybody has a birthday, yo. Everybody have a birthday. But yeah, word up though, man. So you like Alabama. So you think they can do it again?
The only team I could see, and this is a crazy thing, because the SEC is like the powerhouse football team. I mean, conference.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
God's country.
There's so many teams. Like, I like the way Florida is looking. If LSU can get back to on point, Texas A&M, like, you got teams in there that can really make some noise. And you even got Georgia. So you got teams in there that can make some noise. Outside of that conference, Ohio State, I love them, but they got to do more than bowl games. Because during the season, I think they're tough. And I think this year, Ohio State is really going to be tough.
I'm gonna drop something on you. They said, and it's Urban Meyer in his second year of with his teams, he always does better than the first year. So
yep.
last year they were undefeated.
Undefeated.
And they had that they were not bowl eligible.
Yeah, they were
this
bowl
year.
That's the only way
Alabama got in.
Right.
Y'all
right.
still would
have
got
in. Exactly.
Until you watch the SEC country, because they totally different from football than everybody else.
No SEC country.
But what I'm
Alabama
saying is, the speed is totally different, Kia. The speed is
Alabama
totally different.
Alabama shouldn't have got in if Buckeyes was available.
Okay.
But the Buckeyes weren't available, and they didn't get
Buckeyes
in. Buckeyes
would have went out, and it got smacked up, too.
Yeah, well, you know, that has
Ohio
yet to be
State
determined.
If they were eligible, they would have been playing Notre Dame.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
They would have been playing Notre Dame. Alabama
would
have
been there.
Because Alabama already lost, and even in that conference.
They
wouldn't
have been there.
But you see how the cookie crumbled, though. There's a fail that Alabama could get back in the game. The teams that were supposed to win games didn't
That's
win their
right.
games.
They were losing.
You're right. You know, so Alabama kind of backed into it.
Yep.
You know?
When they got there, but when they get there, they show up.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the thing. That's why I said it's that machine in Alabama. They may turn it off. That machine may have a little crank, but when it's time to really turn it on, like a championship game or something, even a game, who do they play? Georgia?
Yes, when your man smacked Aaron Murray.
Yeah,
oh, that's what
Saban started marching up and down the sideline, his team pay attention. When he started having them hissy fits, it's a done deal. Stop
doing. I just think that, you know, to quote my man Bobby Boucher, Nick Saban is the devil, man. Nick Saban is the devil. I'm gonna say it like that, man. Because Alabama gets on my nerves, man. Gotta respect him. Gotta respect him, but they get on my nerves, man.
But respect him,
John Calipari of football.
But my thing is like this, though. But my mind keeps taking me back to last year when they lost to Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa. Johnny Manziel made them kind of look kind of suspect. He had them running all over the place. They didn't know what was going on.
It ain't
going
to happen this year, though.
I don't think it's
going to
happen this year either, but.
Yeah,
they don't save the radar. You let's save the game plan.
Know how to beat them cats.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your opinion about your quarterback? What's his AJ McCarron?
Oh, for Alabama?
Uh-huh.
Serviceable.
That's all he has to do is manage the game.
I lose games.
Yeah. It's just manage the game. But
if he doesn't even,
it's like all you got to do is hand the ball off and complete a couple of first downs. Because your defense, this game, I look at him like, yo, am I bugging or did they defense score more than their offense?
Man, there's been games where they be up by 10 points, but it feel like they up 21.
Yeah, because you know the other team.
You know they
get
the line of scrimmage. You looking at the line of scrimmage, and ain't nobody getting nothing nowhere.
Meanwhile, 8 of the 11 Alabama players are either first or second rounders in the NFL.
Right,
and they going up against dudes like, damn.
First three,
hey,
they had top three in the top 10. They had three of them going to the top 10 this year.
Mm.
That's crazy. Yo, they're a machine over there, man. They're a machine.
But and that machine gonna be stopped this year. I'm waiting for the LSU and Kent State game where Dry Archer from play. I'm waiting for that game.
Oh, but LSU and Penn State? LSU and Kent State. What's that going to be, like 95-3?
Kent State came to 95-3.
And Kent State, the fourth string on LSU, fumbled the punt. so they just got the ball and kicked a field goal. That's the only way they're going to score three on
them. See, why the band was on the field. Everybody always talking about schedules. But, hey, it's something wrong. I got a problem with all these young, these little schools paying these big schools money to get their butt whooped.
But, that's the American way, baby. That's how you're going to get on TV.
That's how the man, take that butt whooping.
Hey, isn't that what boxers do? They take that butt whooping and they go home with that. As long as they can be able to have their faculty so they can count that money, it's all good.
LSU got a tough schedule because they got Florida, I know they got Georgia, they got Kent State, they got Kansas State, they got Auburn, and they got Arkansas, I believe.
They got TCU. Yeah, they open up with TCU.
Yeah, they got TCU.
They play Kent State on September 14th. So they got Auburn, Georgia, Mississippi State, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama. They got Texas A&M, and they close out with Arkansas. But that schedule is the Southeast is always going to be crazy. It's always going to be crazy. The natural rivalry games and. You know, and things of that nature, and you know, Auburn and Alabama is a natural rivalry game. Texas A&M kind of like shocked the system, you know, when they did as good as they did last year, their first year being in the SEC. You know, because a lot of people were paying attention to Missouri.
When Auburn and Alabama play, their rivalry so bad, you got house divided.
Missouri's gonna be good. You're right about that. Missouri got a squad.
But yeah, my team is Miami, the Miami Hurricanes. That's my team.
Oh, please.
That's been my team since 83, baby.
Mayor.
Ellenberger in the building.
Bernie Kosar.
That's right, baby. But that was my Hurricanes, man. We're going to be back. We'll be all right. I'm not leaving my team. We're going to be all right. My Miami Hurricanes will be back in the building.
Let me ask you something as a Hurricane fan. How do you feel about Warren Sapp getting to the Hall of Fame?
I feel kind of conflicted about that, Diz. You know why? Two reasons. Well, it's personal. It's personal because we was at Dana Dane's birthday party at M15 in Manhattan.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm across the bar. And I'm like, they go Warren Sapp. I'm a Buck fan, baby, from day one. I'm like, that's my dude, Warren Sapp. I'm like, welcome, Warren. Yo, how you doing? What's going on? And he looked at me, had to look up at me because he mad shorter than me, yo. And he looked up and was like, holler at me in a minute, man. I'm like, what? I said, Warren Sapp dissed me. I said, okay. All right, shorty. And he heard me, too. I said, all right, shorty. He heard me. And I was stunned, yo. But as far outside of that, he got me a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the greatest defensive players that played the game. You know, and his Hall of Fame stat. You got to respect it. He's in the Hall of Fame. What you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to do? Don't tear his plaque down? I don't got to like
Mayor.
Him. I don't, yo.
I can't stand him. You know, mine is personal. I can't stand him.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rodney.
Okay. I was watching this little hookup on the Hall of Fame when he was talking about Purcell's life. And he was talking about LT and how he used to handle LT. And he was like, one particular day, he set a plane ticket because they were about to play New Orleans that Sunday. He set a plane ticket in front of LT's locker room, in front of the locker, and said that. So LT finally looked at the ticket and he said, "Coach, what is this about? What is this?" He said, "Well, I need you to go down to New Orleans and go get that other number 52 in y'all trade jerseys and uniforms, because the left tackle for New Orleans be whooping your butt so much that I don't think you can do anything this week. So just why don't y'all switch up for a week? Have him come back up here." He was talking about Pat Swilling.
Mm-hmm.
And LT got mad. LT got mad, stormed out. And that particular game, when that Sunday came up, LT ended up with 3.5 sacks that game and 9 tackles.
And what did Pat Swilling do?
He never did say. He never said. Talk about LT.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about how he is, because he knew LT was off the hook. He knew how he was.
Right.
So he said he knew how LT was, you know.
He's going to light a fire under him.
Yeah. He's going to light a fire. That's how he light fire. And then Bill Sims used to go at it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Ziggy, hold up. One second. The light bulb just went off. I got a Seattle Seahawks fan in the building, my man DJ Diz. I got a Pittsburgh Steelers fan in the building. Kia, can you tell Mr. Diz, who is a Seattle Seahawks fan, that Ben Roethlisberger did make that touchdown in that Super Bowl? I've been dying to hear this conversation from a Seahawks and a Steelers fan.
Even if they took the touchdown away, Seattle still didn't win that Super Bowl.
I think Seattle got jerked. Didn't Seattle get jerked in that Super Bowl, Diz?
You can take Seattle. You can take Ben's touchdown away, and Seattle still didn't win that game.
I'm so bad. I'm trying to start trouble. I'm bad.
The second half of that game, Steelers defense shut down Seattle's players. They couldn't even do nothing.
This is the thing. Football is a game of momentum.
Right.
And one minute you can have the momentum, and the momentum was swinging drastically towards Pittsburgh way when y'all were up 14-3 and it was first and goal.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the interception was thrown to Kelly Herndon, and he ran it back. Now, it's a game of momentum and happenings. Things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
While he was running back, I swear, as I'm watching the game, I'm watching, like, our linemen trying to keep up with him, and I'm looking at my defensive lineman, Rocky Bernard, and I'm like, you know your fat behind is not going to keep up with a cornerback. Slow down. He doesn't slow down, he pulls his hamstring, which is greatly needed against Pittsburgh and the offensive line. But I say all that to say this. Between him with the momentum changing and he ran and he got caught, we scored a touchdown and made it 14-10. Pittsburgh came back, and we stopped them, and we had the ball, and we were driving. Now, if we score, and I honestly feel if the ref didn't make that call that they made on Sean Locklear, which was a holding call, if we score, because when that
call
came,
the whole drive.
Mm-hmm. We was at the 3-yard line. Mm-hmm. It was first and goal. Now, the way our offense was set up, we got a Hall of Fame left tackle, an all-pro left guard, and a Pro Bowl fullback, and a running back that just won an MVP in Sean Alexander. First and goal, even if Pittsburgh, if they vaunted defense, it would have been hard to stop them because we usually score. Now, we got a great opportunity to score. Momentum changes. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't having a great game in that. Now, I'm not one of them Seattle fans to be screaming Bloody Mary, yo, we got jerked. Yo, that was 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Was there. It's a lot of things Pittsburgh did, like that reverse play that
Heinz Ward.
Randall Hell and
mm-hmm.
Heinz Ward.
Mm-hmm.
The play was
the running back
play.
By Willie.
Yeah, Willie Parker, the running play.
Oh,
now,
fast
like
Willie
I said, where he broke that, where he took it to the house. And like I said, in those things happen because the safety that was back there was Mike Pruitt. That was our third-string safety, which just replaced our starting safety, which got hurt tackling Heinz Ward out of bounds.
Okay.
So we had injuries. It was just a whole bunch that happened. But am I blessed and thankful as a diehard Seahawks fan since 82 to see my team in the Super Bowl? Of course. Nobody mentions Seattle. Nobody talks about Seattle. But here I am in Brownsville, the land of Mike Tyson, living three blocks away from him, born and raised, and I'm talking Seattle. But I like my chances, and I like what they did. But even then, I'm not going to be like, yo, I hate Pittsburgh or whatever case may be. It was a game. They had this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh capitalized on a moment. They won their Super Bowl.
There you go.
Salute.
And I tell any other fans when they talk about that game, if you do take away Ben's touchdown, take away. We still will win the game. Take Ben's touchdown away. That's the only thing you can take back is Ben's touchdown. We still, the second half was all Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
They shut
him
down.
What happened to Sean Alexander, man?
And you know what's crazy? Sean Alexander in that game rushed for 94 yards. And nobody mentions that. He rushed for 94 yards on 23 carries. The reason people don't mention that? Yes. The reason people don't mention that is because Matt Hasselbeck threw for over 300 yards. See, this is the thing. Pittsburgh runs a vaunted 3-4 defense. And the way Vic LeBeau runs his defense, you got linebackers, you got exotic blitzers, you got all of that. Mike Holmgren was like one of the founders underneath Bill Walsh in terms of the West Coast offense.
That tree, right.
The West Coast offense is built to defend against the 3-4 vaunted defense. So it's quick passes here and there. And at the beginning of the game, you see him hitting Dow Jackson. You see him hitting Bobby Engram. But it ain't 17, 18 yards, is gashing them. Seven here, six here, four here, just enough to get a first down and to feel it. That's where it was. That's where he got the passes. With the running game, we knew it was going to be tough running against Pittsburgh, because if you know Pittsburgh, when did anybody run good against Pittsburgh that year? Unless they were in the division, like a Jamal Lewis or somebody like that who's in the division, who knows
his team. He ain't running against her in there. That's the reason why with that snap situation, he calls our defense, he says something about that, oh, and one of the sports writers was saying, he used the word Boston, like how you said it, about the Steelers defense, and Sapp was still saying, and then they, you know, saying how old they're getting, but yet they still be number one in every category except one. So my thing is, why is he referring to this thing being Steelers being old defense? Until the story came out when Foot mentioned, when they asked Foot about Sapp's comment, and he said Sapp is salty because of what Joe Reporter did to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, get Joe Reporter and Sapp on the phone, and we can settle this score right now. Because Sapp, and what's he's always like to cross people's 50-yard while they practice it, and Joe Reporter wasn't having it. He choked up Sapp and threw him on the ground. That's why Sapp's salty with the Steelers.
Sapp is a short dude. You know what I mean?
Sapp don't even try it. And Foot told it on live TV and said, get Sapp on the phone and get Joe Reporter on the phone. Sapp ain't saying nothing else. Because he said, you call Joey on the phone. Y'all know Porter. Y'all know what Joey's going to say. That's why I have issues with Sapp talking about my Steelers defense being old.
No doubt. No, so, Diz, man, what's your prognostication in regards to your division this year, man? You see Seattle winning division?
If everything works the way it does, if everything works out the way it does, now, I don't want no injuries on any. It's like if we could stay injury-free, and with the team that we have assembled, we're winning our division. We really are, because San Francisco
That's a lot of team luck. That's a lot of team wish. They wish they stay injury-free.
Right. And that goes for any team. But the way our team is built, yeah, I do believe we have a strong chance of winning that division.
Right, because again, like you said earlier, you know, the acquisition of Percy Harvin was a big thing. But again, you said, and that I love that. He was like, they didn't have him last year, so they don't have him this year, so they don't know what it is, you know, not to have him. So they're going
to
do this. Sidney Rice is going to do his numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and real quick point on that too. You know, I follow my Seahawks on their webpage.
Yes, sir.
Golden Tate is in the last year, so he got a contract year coming up. So you know, people who have contract years, they ball out.
Mm-hmm.
So him, Doug Baldwin, and Sidney Rice developed a chip on their shoulders. Like, wait, Percy's out, and y'all acting like we can't score, and y'all fail to realize the last 9 games of the season, up until the playoffs, including the playoffs, we averaged 25 points a game.
Mm.
So obviously, we have the potential of scoring and passing, but like I said, everything started with our run game, because our team likes to punch people in the mouth.
Beast mode, baby.
Beast mode. It's beast mode.
Beast mode, baby.
Hey, I would like to thank y'all, though.
What happened?
I would like to thank y'all for letting us get one of our 4 wins last year.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, yeah. That game was...
And while you're at it, you could thank him for Cliff Averill.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't want that game anyway. He wasn't doing that anyway.
Now he wasn't doing nothing.
Thank you for taking... injury-prone cat from off our hands.
We'll take that. We don't need them to play the whole season just in every town. Just play enough to do what you can do. If you get us 9 sacks a year, we having a great year. Because that means we applying pressure, and the Legion of Boom will be back there waiting on them wide receivers.
That's what I was going to ask you about Richard Sherman. What do you see double digits for him interception-wise?
Who, Richard Sherman?
Uh-huh.
No, I see about another 7 to 8. Mm-hmm. But I see Earl Thomas getting like 6-7 interceptions. And the thing is, a lot of people don't realize we got Brandon Browner, which is another corner with 6'4", 220.
Mm-hmm.
He's right now battling for his starting position with Walter Thurman III, who we recruited 2 years ago. We drafted, actually. We drafted him 2 years ago. He didn't get the opportunity to play because he was injured. But he's playing up to the potential which we thought he was, which was an all-full potential. And him and Brandon Browner going for that first spot.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll more than likely go to Brandon Browner, because Brandon Browner acted as like the big wide receivers. Y'all can't house us because Brandon Browner is 6'4", 220.
Yeah, right.
He's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with Ken Chancellor, a.k.a. Bam Bam in the back there. Like, I like my secondary. I like my defense all together. Our linebackers are young. Our secondary is young. Our defensive lineman is deep. We good.
Man, Josh gonna rock y'all for like 350. Josh 5, baby. Josh 5.
Josh gonna lose about 300 calories. That's what he gonna do. But wait,
man.
Isn't that game in Seattle?
I believe it's in Tampa. Hold on, let me look at the schedule right quick. I was just looking at it too. Golly.
You know that 12th man is pretty
loud.
Yeah.
They go up for some record in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, against San Francisco. It's the record,
mm-hmm.
the loud record. I guess the noise record. So. And what perfect team, but and you know we can't stand them.
Yeah.
We can't stand them.
I got y'all winning
the division. It's in Seattle. Yeah, man. It's at the link, baby. So that twelfth person thing will be in effect. You know what I mean? But we ain't worried about that. Josh will go in there and do his thing.
Just let your offensive line know if they get one false start due to the noise, it's problem.
Yeah. And Josh is, oh my God, yo. Yo, Dez, all I'm asking for, man, I'm not asking for much from Josh, man. I just want Josh, man, to have a decent season, man. He don't got to throw for 5,000 yards. He don't got to throw 40 touchdowns. He don't got to do that. Hold the ball. That's what I need you to do.
That's about it. But, hey, y'all got the mighty hamster, though.
Yeah. And we got Vincent Jackson, and we extended Mike Williams on the other side. And our secondary is right there with y'all. We got Deshaun Golston. We got the island on the other side, Darrell Revis. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm looking for some things. I'm excited about my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man.
And speaking of that, man, I wish Richard Sherman, look, and that's an intelligent brother, but shut up.
Mm.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah.
We already know you nice. You know you nice.
Mm.
Shut up.
Mm.
Stop challenging everybody, because as soon as you get burnt, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Up, man. You were smart, too. And the thing is, people, like, I hear the comments, people call him stupid, and he's an idiot. Like, whoa, hold on. He got his bachelor's out of Stanford University, and he's working on his master's.
Right. So he's far from stupid.
Yeah, so he's not stupid. He's the plan he's doing, but, yo, easy, homie.
Right.
Just easy.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how I was a couple years ago with Nnamdi Asomugha. But they made Nnamdi Asomugha to beat us shut down. Dude, I said Nnamdi Asomugha is garbage, Joe. He went to the Eagles and turned to the burnt toast. Like, what's every week somebody was writing him up?
Mayor. He wouldn't even tackle. You have a running back coming his way, and
if you stop him from catching the ball, you ain't got to worry about tackling.
But what I'm saying is, when somebody comes around,
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
There's been plenty of times he sell out. He'll sell out and dove and wouldn't even tackle nobody. He was playing flag football.
Man, that's why he caught a flag right on out of there, because the Nnamdi Asomugha was garbage. I knew he was garbage. He was garbage with the Raiders.
Oh God, yes.
You know what I mean? But again, like you said, you get exposed. You know what I'm saying? You know, you get this money, and now you become a target now. You know, now you have to justify the loot. Because that's why I was asking Diz earlier about Sean Alexander. You know, once he got his loot, he started running out of bounds.
Go ahead, I'm saying
that's his nickname. That's what we used to call him, the fall guy.
The fall guy? The fall guy. That's
every
a good
time
one.
Somebody trying to really tackle him, he's fall.
Yeah, you remember Larry Brown?
Yeah, I remember Larry Brown.
Do you remember that Super Bowl?
When
O'Donnell kept throwing him the ball.
He made him a star,
Made him a star, and he was never
sure
the same.
Did. Mm-hmm.
Never, yep.
Garbage. And I'm so mad at O'Donnell because I lost so much money on that game.
Hey, Diz, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he leave the Cowboys and then went to the Cardinals for some money?
He went to the Raiders.
Brown?
Larry Brown.
He went to the Raiders. He went to the Raiders.
Okay, I went to one of the West Coast teams. And was garbage, right?
He disappeared right in that black hole.
No doubt. And listen. It's almost about that time, man. At this part of the show, man, when we go do a little round table and let everybody say what they got to say, man, before we get out of here for another week. Diz, I'm gonna let you set it off, man. You're the first time caller and all that, man. We just, you know, speak a little mind until we get back here next week, man.
All right. I want to say first and foremost, first time on the show. Glad to talk to y'all brothers and sisters and talk about sports. Looking forward to getting back on the show again. It's football season. It's about
yes,
that time where the debates happen. Teams, you get intense with your teams and you live and die with your team. That's what football is all about.
You better ask, you Douglas and Michael Smith.
Yeah, them numbers never lie, clowns.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
man.
Funny. It's funny.
No
but, yeah, I'm just looking forward to a good year and hoping everything works out. And hopefully, you know, my team make it to the playoffs again and we see what happens.
That's what it is. We appreciate you, my dude. Kia, what's
no
good?
Doubt.
You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Well, you know, I'm waiting for my school to bounce back. They always bounce back after a year after. So I'm looking for a decent look good. Can't wait to get up to the Trove to see my school play a couple of scrimmage games. And I'm just ready for football. You know how I go about my Steelers. I don't play with my Steelers.
Yes.
I don't play with my Steelers. So I gotta be careful.
Yes, you are in for
Steelers.
It, my dude. I'm just gonna let you know from the door. You're my man in the whole nine yards, but you are in for it, fam. Z, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Ready for football, like everybody else. Ready for that contact and all that hitting. And I like to give a shout out to my Tigers. 10 wins in a row tonight.
All right.
And let's run away with the vision. Let's get to this World Series. Peace out.
All right. Show up this time when you make the World Series, okay?
Well,
don't get swept this time. Listen, man, it's been a year, yo. The little show that could, man, is in the building, man, and we rolling, man. Shout out to everybody, man, who's called in. If you ever called in, man, if you ever thought about calling in, man, ain't nothing to it but to do it, man. Just press that one and you're jumping in the conversation. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the shout outs, man. Thanks for the birthday love. We're going to do it again next week because next week is my birthday.
Okay.
So it goes down a little bit, something like that. Shout out again, man. Special shout out to the big homie Rich behind the scenes, holding everything down. Miss Lavina on the board and all of that. You know, tomorrow night, check out the Divas, man. They do their thing hard body. Thursday, shout out to the authors and all that. They do their thing on a relationship note. Friday, man, the big homie holds everything down on the entertainment tip. Until we meet again, man, you know what it is. football season about to pop off. You know, it's going to get down to, you know, now the real deal. Everybody was talking like basketball was the only sport that ever existed until the NFL rolls around. So now it's football season. About to get into it. Next week, we're going to have our over and unders for the NCAA Top 10. So we're going to do that next week. I can't wait to do that because it's going down. I got a surprise in store for my Alabama fans. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be lonely at the top, like my man Flash from the Five Heartbeats. But again, man, I appreciate everything, man. Everybody that listens, man. Everybody that, you know, has an opinion. Everybody that tunes in. Everybody that checks me out on After Further Review because it goes down every morning, man. Little taste of sports, man. You know, outside of the ESPN, you know, spectrum. We don't do no suits and ties at After Further Review, man. So we just kick it like we on the block or we have at the barbershop, man. Talking real sports with real people, man. It goes down like that. Again, man, After Further Review, GQ Palace Radio, man. Every Tuesday night, man, from 8 to 10, 646-200-3838 is the math. I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the homie Jules from Bucktown, USA for lacing me with the theme music for After Further Review, man. Shout out to the homie. I got you. Shout out to Diz for calling in, Angie for checking in, Rachel for checking in from off the track and all that, you know, doing her walking, her exercise on. Shout out to Kia. Shout out to the homie Rodney. Shout out to my man Diz, man. I appreciate you, my G. We only getting started, yo. It is what it is, man. This is the mayor, man. After Further Review, GQ Palace Radio. Till next Tuesday. Peace.
War Steel Records.
Come to the palace if you want to. cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My cruise thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue,
walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin if you're ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now you're glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guck on that turnstile, untainted. I'm a messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is a diva squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Got to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the pool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue, you can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.